Hello, I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I welcome you to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Sunday Services. It is my pleasure to serve this flexible and warm congregation. I am streaming to you from home because somehow the COVID numbers are 3.5 times higher than they've ever been at any other point during the pandemic. And so staff and volunteers are keeping distance from one another in order to stop getting COVID, and our congregation is shut down for the time being for anything but virtual meetings. So I welcome you again to recorded services. Fortunately, we're pretty good at this now, so that's a good piece. And I just want to know that whenever you're watching this, if it's Sunday morning or some other time, that you are so welcome here. You're welcome if this new surge just makes your head spin like it does mine, not knowing if the numbers mean you're not safe because you're boosted, or if you should stop doing things, if you some things you should do. It's really confusing. And you are welcome if you are just hunched down in your home again, waiting out this surge. You're welcome if you feel hopeful because this will be over soon. You're welcome if you're feeling despairing because you just are so tired of these surges of COVID that bring us into our homes and allow us out and bring us in again. After the service, we're having coffee hour online, and I hope that everyone can join us. It's so difficult not to be able to see people. So just coming in and stopping by and saying hi is a really wonderful way to connect with this community. I will now light our chalice. We light this chalice to remember our intention to love and bless the world. Let us say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
Good morning. On this day when we expected to be continuing our in-person services, as Tracy likely has already talked to, we find ourselves in a temporary shortcut. And I am still very grateful to be able to be here with you this morning as your lay leader. My name is Brad Hewitt. My pronouns are he and him. And I have an opening reading for us this morning by Julia Fehrenbacher. Go gently today. Don't hurry or think about the next thing. Walk with the quiet trees. Can you believe how brave they are? How kind. Model your life after theirs. Blow kisses at yourself in the mirror, especially when you've messed up. Forgive yourself for not meeting your unreasonable expectations. You are human, not God. Don't be so arrogant. Praise fresh air, clean water, good dogs. Spin something from joy. Open a window, even if it's cold outside. Sit. Close your eyes. Breathe. Allow the river of all to pulse through your eyelashes, fingertips, bare toes. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe until you fill your bigness until the sun rises in your veins. Breathe until you stop needing anything to be different.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to be together today. I'm Hannah Franco Isaacs, and I have the distinct privilege of serving as your Director of Religious Education. Today, I want to share a story with you that was inspired by a story by Pastor Teresa Soto. This story is about a small village that is divided by a steep ravine. At the beginning of the story, they have a bridge. It's not a great bridge, but it's a bridge that allows for communication and community building. And they're walking back and forward on it, or they're rolling on it, or they're running on it. And they are in community with one another. Until one day, a great storm rolls in. Huge thunderclouds, rain and snow and wind. And the wind is blowing this bridge back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And in the middle of the night, some of the villagers wake up and they hear a big crash and a big kaboom. And they don't want to leave their houses because it doesn't seem safe. But they're not sure if they can still communicate with the community that's on the other side of the ravine with their fellow villagers. And in the morning, when the wind has settled down, they cautiously open their doors and they go to the edge of the ravine. And the first thing they do is establish communication. They get phone lines back up and running. They make sure that their neighbors are safe and taken care of. And then they turn to the business of rebuilding the bridge. And at first, there's some arguments because not everyone agrees about how to rebuild the bridge. But everyone agrees that building the bridge and reuniting this community is important. So they get to work on building a new bridge. And they build the bridge and it gets done and they're reunited. But what do you think happens next? What happens in most of the stories I tell? There's a twist. And another storm rolls in and the winds blow and that bridge too falls into the ravine. And the villagers come together once more. This time they use a tin can telephone and they stay in touch however they can. They show up on Zoom. They call one another, they text one another, they stay in touch. And they continue rebuilding the bridge over and over and over again. They show up with intention and commitment to their community. And in these days when we have yet again returned to meeting exclusively online, let us too be like those villagers who kept showing up to rebuild the bridge.
I am a person who prays. I pray my fear and my pain, my gratitude, my intentions, and my hopes. I don't know how prayer works, except it does often relieve my pain, focus my attention on gratitude and what I most hope for, and it offers me the grace of space. And sometimes I am called strongly to this biblical form of prayer called lamentation. These prayers, sprinkled across the Psalms, call on God to fix things right now, because basically everything is not going well. As a reaction to difficult times, it beats punching a wall. And so I wrote one for us this week. O Spirit of Life, often our life is so good. You offer us poetry, humor, the sun, green plants, companionship, stories, pizza, butter chicken, and smiles. But these times we are living through are just too much. Endless pandemic, deeply angry people everywhere, harsh weather, classism and racism that leaves so many in daily hardship, lies, twisting realities. These winds of tumult don't even let us meet with those who sustain and give us hope. It is just too much. We know we are not always faithful to the ways of love. We get so worn down and angry at those who hate, who believe lies, and who won't get vaccinated. Sometimes we are driven to hatred ourselves. Forgive us. But please, please, stop the storms of illness, weather, mean-spiritedness, and threats of violence. Give us space, a lull, a time to recover, to ground deeply, so we can repair, gather our energy, and build a safer, kinder world. O Spirit of Life, we will hear you when our hearts are calm, our bodies filled with energy, when utterances of gratitude and love fall easily from our lips, and faithfulness to love comes easier. Spirit of Life, we are thankful for this life, for sun and rain and earth and air, and the mystery that brings elements together to make life. We are always thankful. Now let us take time for meditation, prayer, or reflections, as is your tradition.
And now we have a reading, which is a quote from Reverend A. Powell Davies, a Unitarian minister. Let me tell you why I come to church. I come to church and would, whether I was a preacher or not, because I fall below my own standards and need to constantly be brought back to them. I'm afraid of becoming selfish and indulgent. And my church of the free spirit, brings me back to what I want to be. I could easily despair, doubt, and dismay could overwhelm me. My church renews my courage and my hope. It's not enough that I should think about the world and its problems at the level of a newspaper report or magazine discussion. It could too soon become too low a level. I must have my conscience sharpened. Sharpened until it goads me to the most thorough and responsible thinking of which I am capable. I must feel again the love I owe to others. I must not only hear about it, but feel it. In church, I do. I am brought toward my best, in every way, toward my best.
This has been a difficult week. More people I know are struggling with illness and challenging moods than I have seen in a long time. And that is saying something. Omicron has spiked with COVID numbers mind-bogglingly higher than ever before. And weren't vaccines supposed to slow COVID down? I do remember that story from long ago. The January 6th insurrection has been the daily bread of the news this past week, with the clear message that our democracy is in serious trouble. Most of the week, rain and wind darkened the world, and days felt like a long, long dusk. It never seemed to get light or warm. In circumstances like these, it can be difficult to feel hopeful. I once imagined a post-COVID world. It was always just tantalizingly a few months away, and we would be free of it. But I find I don't imagine that future anymore. Now I suppose the future will look much like the present. Waves of COVID coming and going, and people like figuring out whether the goal is not to get it, or just not to get very sick, or some other approach. But who knows? 2 months from now seems far away and completely unknowable. Is this the movie where we are in our darkest hour, where heroes overcome their deepest fear, and when all goodness breaks through for a happy ending? I find the news exhausting. It seems to spin on repeat, seeking any shred of evidence that can give us any idea about the world we live in or what it is becoming. They don't know either. They have to say something into the incessant 24-hour news cycle. I crave more depth, more knowledge, more hope. Valerie Kerr, the revolutionary love activist, after the election of Donald Trump, expressed her fear for the future and then asked, "Is this the darkness of the tomb or the darkness of the womb?" I often think of this comment. Maybe we are living in the darkness of the womb, and something new and wonderful and unknowable is growing. Then the birth will happen, and we will see a new way we couldn't perceive before. I have given birth 3 times, and for those who haven't, it hurts. The time right before the baby is born is called transition, and it's completely overwhelming. The painful waves of contraction come quickly, one, then another, so fast that it feels as if you can't catch a breath. I felt sure I could not do it. I could not survive it. I remember the midwives in my face, firm and clear, reminding me to breathe, staying with me, telling me my body could do this. I do believe we are birthing a new world now. I don't know if the new world is still growing in the womb. I don't know if we've started contractions. I don't know if we are in transition. I have no idea what we will birth. Will it be healthy and of a good nature, or it will be ill and the characteristics of a sociopath? I do know that sometimes life feels like transition, the too muchness of it, and an inability to catch one's breath, surrounded by others who are just hanging on, or not quite hanging on anymore. Our theme this month is intention, and the topic of this sermon is church as intention. In the nearly 2 years since our patterns of congregational life were completely upended, I have thought a lot about why we have Unitarian Universalist congregations. What we do is pretty straightforward. We offer Sunday services and religious education. We have lots of small groups for community building, support, and learning about things that help us improve our lives. We offer opportunities for people to do service. But why do these things? In most Christian congregations, the why is very straightforward. The purpose is to bring people to Christ. And while denominations vary widely on just what that means, the why is clear. For you use the why is murkier. we don't have some stated goal of our faith, the thing we are working hard to achieve. For many, the why is being in a community of like-minded people. So often people tell me this. Just what a joy it is to find like-minded people, a coming home. Services are, I hope, interesting, and let us think about life. Bringing voices together in song when we can is deeply satisfying. Small groups are places to develop friendships and social networks. What is true is that the things we have done traditionally as a faith community are often not as satisfying when we must be distant from one another. Community can feel thin when we are not physically near one another. Worship and music are not the same on the flat screen. We may not even sing anymore if we aren't inspired in our own living rooms. Online coffee hour doesn't ensure we will get that short chat with a friend that helps us feel cared for or connected. So what is the why of us beyond community and interesting things to think about that might make our lives and the lives of others a little better? I believe the why is being in a tradition that inspires us to set intentions that open our hearts wider, connecting us to what is larger than ourselves, and then helps us live into those intentions. I believe that what we do is based on millennia of people learning methods that have helped people live into the intentions we've set in our hearts. Coming to services each week, entering sacred space, offers us a chance to remember what is of greatest worth. Worship means, in the Old English, not to praise God, but to make worthy. Worship services are there to remind us of what is most worthy. For some people, that is, in fact, God. But for most you use, it is our values and that which we find larger than ourselves, maybe community or nature or the holiness of interconnected life. Worship reminds us of the most worthy intentions for our life. The practices of worship, such as singing and responsive readings when we are in person, brings us together on an energetic level so we are connected with others in our intentions. Small groups that ask us to process our lives intimately and find meaning can help us lean into what we intend for our lives. Research shows that small groups where we are vulnerable, support one another, and seek to change ourselves are the best ways to transform. They are an essential way to live into our intentions. Prayer states our intentions clearly in a way our deepest selves or that what is beyond us can hear. Our UU faith has clear intentions. It says every person has worth and dignity. It says we are part of the interconnected web. We say we are each on a journey to find truth and meaning and promise to help each other on those journeys. We care about fairness and justice and democracy. Mostly our intention is love. The interconnected force of the universe that reminds us to do good for each other. I find that when the day never gets entirely light, when I can't figure out whether I should leave the house or not, when my fear for democracy, the well-being of those who have little, and the climate we've unleashed rest heavy on my chest, I am not necessarily thinking about what is most worthy in life or my intentions in the greater scope of things. Instead, I want to curl up on the couch with hot tea or something stronger and watch people laugh on the television. No documentaries, no dramas, just focusing on the silliness of humans as they crash into each other with their clumsy personalities in various situations. Or perhaps I just want the easy routines of life. Get up, drink coffee, stretch, answer emails, do the busy work of my job, not thinking too deeply about anything much. I want to care for myself in ways that numb me out. I want comfort. But really, it is time like these that I need to remember what is worthy more than any other time. I need to remember my intentions for my life, that I want to experience life fully, and my interconnectedness with all other life. I want to bless the world with love and care. This is not to add to the weight of shoulds on my own shoulders or on yours. Our faith at its worst can feel that way. We should live into our values. We should help more. We should love more. We should. That conditioning of our culture that we should do more, be more, improve ourselves easily spills into our faith, where we put a lot of weight on what we can will ourselves to do, giving ourselves less grace. Instead, I mean that in times like these, I need to immerse myself in what I find worthy because those things fill me up. I need to marinate in them. Maybe you do too. We become what we attend to. And I want to attend to what I find worthy. I really don't want to numb out and forget. I don't really want that for any of us. I want all of us to remember the love of the earth and life. To remember the love of the earth and life. And when we do, spin out words of gratitude for the trees who are tall and wise, for the rain that nourishes the earth, even if it makes the days dark, for the food that delights us. Those are worthy. I want us to remember the worth and dignity of each person, including ourselves. Each of us is so worthy of this life. So treat yourself kindly as a treasure to be cared for. Treat your neighbor kindly and your friend. They are treasures and worth being cared for. Treat the person living in a tent kindly. They are treasures to be cared for. These acts are worthy. I want us to remember that none of us is alone. We are interconnected in ways we barely have language for. I think of mirror neurons and the way we literally become each other inside our brains. This is worthy. The Reverend A. Davies Powell says about why he attended church, "I must feel again the love I owe to others. I must not only hear about it, but feel it. In church, I do." This, I believe, is the crux of it. Participating in congregational life can help us feel our intentions. Not just think about them intellectually, set outside of us on a list of shoulds, but feel them so that what we find most worthy becomes us. Then what we find most worthy sustains us and acts through us. Our sense of interconnection to all life can give us hope because we are part of a web of existence. And the responsibility for the damage to that web does not fall solely on our shoulders, but is lifted by us all. Participating in a faith tradition and bathing ourselves week in and week out in our intentions helps our intentions become alive within our beings. This is not so that we will become some super-powered good person, but is so we can live fully in what we believe to be the most rich, meaningful, and satisfying life. It is to live the best way that we know how. We are in the midst of birthing a new world. It is a chaotic time with few anchors. It is painful as the old way dies and the new comes into being. Of course, this difficult energy of change flows through us in ways that can often feel hard and challenging. We humans like comfort, routine, and certainty after all, and we have little of any of that. All we can do is discover and remember our intentions about the life that matters and lean into them. We intend for there to be love. We intend for there to be joy and peace. We intend for there to be democracy and justice. As the acts of daily life scatter us, we remind ourselves of our intentions by participating in our faith community and personal practices such as gratitude journals, meditation, and prayers such as Lamentations, or the prayer of St. Francis we heard sung so beautifully this morning. We let them grow and warm us and give us courage and hope. But of course, it is also this faith community that has had to birth a new way of being in these times. We have been pulled away from many of the sustaining practices of our tradition and must continue to find new practices that inspire us and allow us to live our intentions. We have built bridges to each other like the people in this morning's stories, but storms knock them down over and over, and this can get discouraging. But I also know if it is our intention to be here as a community, supporting ourselves to live fully and birth a loving, sustainable new world, we will do that. We will keep building the bridges that the storms knock down. No matter how we feel today, bountiful possibilities lie before us, and we will find a way. The thing with intentions is you lean into them. You don't start with a to-do list and resolutions and goals with outcomes. You start by breathing, by being with others who remind you to breathe, to remind your body you can do it, and to let others remind you that your body can do it. You start with your senses. You start with where you are and allow the practices of our faith to wake you.
Keep living.
Please join me in our affirmation of giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
Breathe. Allow the river of it all to pulse through eyelashes, fingertips, bare toes. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe until you feel your bigness, until the sun rises in your veins. Breathe until you stop needing anything to be different. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May these be with us until we meet again.